Let's go east across the country to Pittsburgh, where the Monongahela and the Allegheny River join.
You've probably heard something about Pittsburgh, the city that built America, the city that built the world, the city that fell so hard. And now, Pittsburgh, the tech powerhouse, Pittsburgh, the culinary wonderland, the city that's big and small and approachable and amazing all at once, the city where a chair saves your spot. That's us, all of it. And this whole time, we've always had one loyalty, and it's not the one you're thinking of. This loyalty is stronger than steel. It comes from a history of facing challenges head on. It comes from learning that you can't wait for opportunity, you have to create it. And that the only way to prepare for the future is to work together and build the future yourself. We're loyal to a better tomorrow. Loyal to investing in our kids and the institutions that build strong leaders. Loyal to the audacious reality that if we do the right thing today, tomorrow will be awesome. Not just change, improvement. Not just for some, all. It's why we're not sitting back, enjoying our moment in the sun. We're forging ahead, building new industries, improving our most beautiful assets, setting the stage, sowing the seeds to grow a better generation. Making sure all families have room to grow. We're building something special here. A place where thinkers, makers, dreamers, and doers can afford to be bold. A place where bright minds and youthful energy come together to put down roots. A place where big things happen and big problems get solved every single day. And just wait till you see what we do next. Then again, you don't have to wait. Join us. We always have time for one more great idea and room for one more great neighbor. But hurry. Tomorrow is almost here.
Can I assure you of one amazing truth? Jesus is changing this world one life at a time. And I stand before you as one who is so humbled and so honored to have received the call of God to go to that city. I get a little choked up. I probably watched that video over 100 times. And I get a little choked up every time because the Lord has broken my heart for that city. As I now take this leap of faith to go and plant a church after planting a church in the city of New Orleans. My family loves cruel and unusual punishment. Two real easy cities to plant churches in. It's by God's grace that we receive this call, and it's by God's grace that I'm here today in front of Christ community. You guys get it on with worship. I love it. I'll tell you what. I'm just telling you, look, I grew up Southern Baptist, but I'm a recovering Southern Baptist. I like to say I'm more Bapticostal. And my brother on the front row, you and I'm telling you, we're going to hit the road and worship together. What an amazing joy it is to open up God's Word. Let's do that together. We're going to open up our Bibles to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 27 through 32 as we continue this series called Beyond the Grave. Pastor Ronnie has done a fantastic job. I've had the privilege of watching online. You know, if you miss a week and go online, keep up with everybody. And so I watched the last 2 weeks looking at the resurrection of Jesus. Y'all rocked it out Easter Sunday. And then last week, the ascension of Jesus as you jumped in the book of Acts. And as I've been praying about coming to today to preach on the topic, the subject of the advance and multiplication of the church, the Lord has placed a passage on my heart from the book of Luke. We're going to look at the book of Luke where Jesus calls one of his disciples to follow him. If I can just say this as we get ready to look at God's word, if I can just say how thankful I am, let me first of all brag on your pastor, your pastor's wife, and their family. Can we just thank God for what he has done in calling the Parrots here? Whether you know it or not, I was part of this journey and praying for these opportunities. Long before we knew about Christ Community, long before we knew this was on the radar, I have to confess to you, one of the reasons why I have a doctorate today is because of your pastor. I procrastinate a little bit too much, and I'm one of those keep it simple, stupid kind of people. And so I needed the real brilliant mind of Ronnie Parrott in my life. And so I'm thankful that he kept me in check and kept me accountable. I'm also thankful, you know, that I get to kind of use his street cred because Ronnie knows everyone. And so he's hooking me up with connections and all this kind of stuff. And as I get to watch him preach the last 2 weeks, I got to admit, he's a way better preacher than me too. But if we can just be honest, he's a better preacher. He's smarter than me, but I'm better looking than him. I mean, let's just, can we keep it real? But last night we had dinner together. I apologize if you're the couple in the house that was sitting near us that had to relocate because of our 10 kids as we were destroying a restaurant last night. But just love the Parrotts so much. So thankful for Kyle and Bree. We got to hang out with them yesterday. Kyle took a vision trip that I hosted with churches, your church being one of them. They got to see the city of Pittsburgh and all that God's doing there. And if I can just say how much it means to me that God has called you as a church family to journey with us to the city of Pittsburgh. We don't know a whole lot, but we know that we've got the Lord's call upon our lives. We know that we've got God's grace, and we know that we're better together. And so thank you so much for your prayers, for your support in advance, and I pray that half of you are called by God today to join us in the city of Pittsburgh. So let's look at God's word together in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 27 through 32, and I shared with you this promise, this declaration in Scripture that Jesus is changing this world one life at a time. And so we're going to look at a story of how Jesus is doing that. Some of y'all are probably asking, how does one plant a church? Let's look at this together. In verse 27, it says, after this, so some stuff has happened. We'll talk about what's happened. Jesus has been on mission. He's called a few of his disciples already. He's healed a paralytic. He's healed a leper. And so he's continuing to go. Can we just stop there right quick? Because we're going to see this after this. What does it say in the text? Jesus went out. Anyone thankful that after this, Jesus didn't take a nap? Anyone thankful that Jesus keeps going? Anyone thankful that Jesus can't stop, won't stop? I don't know about you, but after I preach on Sundays, I take a nap. Jesus calls some disciples. He heals a paralytic, right? He heals a leper, and I would want to chill. Okay, I'm good. We've done enough. Let's take a break. But after this, Jesus went out. He keeps going. Anyone thankful that he kept going to you? He keeps going. Church, we've got to keep going. The advance, the multiplication of the church. I hadn't even really started preaching. Let's go. After this, Jesus went out and he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So leaving everything behind, he got up and began to follow him. Then Levi hosted a grand banquet for Jesus at his house. Ain't no party like a Jesus party. I mean, this is awesome. And it says here, now there was a large crowd of church people and seminarians at this party. No, there wasn't. There was a large crowd of tax collectors and others who were guests with them. But the Pharisees and their scribes were complaining, of course they were, to his disciples. Why, Jesus, do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And here is one of the most amazing statements, a banner statement for the mission of Jesus. Here Jesus replies to them, and he says, it is not those who are healthy who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. the word of the Lord. Jesus is changing this world one life at a time. I'd love to tell you about how Jesus changed my life. My full name is Robert Edwin John Wilton. Thank you, Mama, for my four names. But I'm proud of those four names because Edwin is my bumpa. He's my one grandfather, great preacher of the gospel. John is my papa, a great preacher of the gospel who went to be with Jesus about 3 years ago. I carry that proudly. I'm so thankful for the legacy of faith in my family's life, but I want you to know that before my papa, John, came to faith in Jesus, we can't find anyone in our family who ever followed Jesus. John was the first one of the Wiltons to come to faith in Jesus Christ, and it happened in a place called South Africa. My whole family's from South Africa. And so I describe myself in this way because my family's from South Africa. My grandfather not only came to faith in Jesus, but he surrendered to preach the gospel. And my dad grew up under that ministry, surrendered to the gospel, and also surrendered to full-time gospel ministry. And so he moved his family upon the call of God because a Mississippi preacher came and preached a revival at my grandfather's church in South Africa, and they moved everything to America, to a city called New Orleans. My parents knew nothing about New Orleans except Huckleberry Finn. That was it. And so they moved to New Orleans, and in 1979, that's when they moved. In 1981, that's when I was born. And so I describe myself in this way because I grew up in that city, spent time in that city, and then my dad became pastor of First Baptist Church of Spartanburg, South Carolina, so I know about the Carolinas and everything else. I'm a Cajun African American redneck. And so I got a whole lot of mixture up here, and so I apologize for whatever comes out, but I could probably relate to anybody here. And so growing up in the city of New Orleans, I want you to know that this legacy of faith, my grandfather coming to faith in Jesus, and then my dad coming to faith in Jesus and moving to New Orleans, and then I was brought up in my dad's preaching ministry. My dad in New Orleans worked for the Billy Graham Association and traveled and preached crusades all over the last 20 plus years. He had the privilege of being Dr. Billy Graham's pastor up here in the Carolinas. And so we had this amazing legacy, and I grew up going to crusade, crusade, revival, revival. Y'all know back in the day, revival preachers only had five good sermons. And on one Sunday night, my dad was preaching a sermon that I'd heard a million times. How do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? And that night, as we began to sing Just As I Am, because you sing Just As I Am till someone moves, right? I got to confess, as a preacher's kid, I responded a couple times just to shut that thing down. But on this night, the Spirit of God got a hold of my life, and I was there with my bumpa and my papa, and as I got up during that first stanza of Just As I Am to give my life to Jesus, my bumpa grabbed me by the belt buckle. He said, "Robbie, you know better than to get up to go to the potty during the invitation." I said, "But bumpa, I'm giving my life to Jesus." He kicked me down the aisle. He was so excited. And I received Christ as Lord and Savior. And do you know that the next night, my younger brother, who's the missions pastor of the church that I'm serving in right now in Nashville, as we get ready to go to Pittsburgh, he gave his life to Christ. And can I tell you, fast forward to 2 years ago, I had the amazing privilege of in downtown New Orleans preaching one of our new school revivals we call Changed, right next to the Superdome. I had the privilege of not only preaching the gospel, but baptizing my oldest son, Bolt, in the back of a pickup downtown New Orleans. Can I just assure you of something here today, Christ Community Church? What Jesus Christ has done for my family, he can do the same for you. Jesus is changing this world one life at a time. And you might be here today and you say, "Man, I don't even know what this place is about. My girlfriend dragged me here." You might be one in your life right now that you're the only person in your entire family that knows Jesus. Do you know that I believe the potential right now in this divine appointment is that God might set in motion something that's so life-changing, that's so radical, that great grandkids who are not even here yet are going to come to faith in Jesus as a result. Can we start believing that together? You see, this is how Jesus is changing the world one life at a time. And this story of Jesus not planning an institution, not sitting up in some tower where he's asking for people to come to him. But this Jesus on mission, proclaiming his Father's glory, going to one life at a time, is how also he invites us to change this world. So let's look at this text together. I want to break down a few things. Listen, you want to take notes in church. This is really important. Because when you take notes in church, you look holier than your neighbor, and that's the point of church. Just wanted you to know that. And so here we look at Luke chapter 5 in verse 27. And in this passage, guys, we're going to see how Jesus changes this world one life at a time. The context, Jesus calls his disciples. He heals the leper. He heals a paralytic. And so he displays the authority he has to heal. And now he comes to a tax collector named Levi, who we also know as Matthew. And he comes to not only change Levi's life, but he comes to send him out. So this is a story, listen to me, of transformation and a story of commission. So it's so exciting about Christ's community right now. People are getting saved and people are being sent out. This is the story that we find here. This is the advance and the multiplication of the church. And so if you're taking notes, write down in the first place, how is Jesus changing this world one life at a time? Number one, we see the pursuit of Jesus. The pursuit of Jesus. He came to you. He came to you. It says here in the text, after this, Jesus went out. Don't ever forget, church, we haven't come to Jesus. Jesus came to us, for he is Emmanuel, God with us. Here, Jesus cleanses the leper, heals the paralytic, and Jesus didn't stop. He went out. He knew there were more and more people that needed him. Sadly, in this world, when we talk about our faith, and we talk specifically in what this world has dubbed faith to be in regards to religion, we're taught that we first need to pursue God. We're taught that we need to get all our stuff together and then come to God. We're taught that we need to give and we need to go and we need to attend and we never need to miss a group and ding, 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 we get God. May I submit to us today, that's not the gospel. The gospel is not our pursuit of God. The gospel is God's pursuit of us. For you can't, but Jesus did. And because Jesus did, now you can. We love 1 John 4:19. Why? Because he first loved us. But we all get caught up in the pursuit, don't we? Even my family, we get caught up in this pursuit. I over the last 7 years in the city of New Orleans, I know I'm going to get some boos, but it's okay. One of these days, you'll convert over to the right team. I've been the New Orleans Saints chaplain. And who dat said he going to beat them Saints? I mean, can we be honest? If God had a football team, would he pull for the Panthers or the Saints? Just keeping it real. And so I've had the privilege of being the New Orleans Saints chaplain. Well, over the years, my family has gotten pretty close with the Brees family, Drew Brees, our quarterback. He also has three boys and a daughter. And so we've had some fun. Well, Drew came to me in last offseason, and he was like, hey, God's kind of called me. Drew's a believer, loves the Lord, and everything that he does, man, he's behind the church, advancing the kingdom. I love the guy so much. And he was like, look, God's put upon my heart, we're going to start a football league that's going to spread all over the country. It's called Play Football in America. And we want to go back and redeem some of the things that have kind of been mixed up with football, but bring fun back in. And so would you consider being the assistant coach on our team, and we'll get our boys to play on the same team? And I was like, Drew, let me see if I can check my calendar. Of course, Drew Brees, I'll do this. And so we start this football league. Well, it was amazing. Listen, it was on Friday nights, and I can't completely confirm this, but when our kids played with Drew Brees' team, I think parents had kids on other fields playing, but they didn't watch their own kids, they were watching ours. I mean, there were tons of people out, and so we had cameras out there, everything. Well, after a couple weeks, Drew posts on his Instagram account, which he's got like a gazillion followers. My son Mac, one of my twin boys, throwing a touchdown pass to his son Bowen Brees. And it's crazy, okay? These kids, listen, they should not be concerned about Instagram, but seven-year-olds are already concerned about Instagram. And so the problem with this is that Mac has a twin brother, Burke. And so Burke's like, what in the world? Why didn't Drew Brees post anything about what I did? And he's a little ticked off, and so I'm like, listen, you are identical twin brothers, Burke. Don't worry about it. Later on in life, just lie. Say that Drew got it wrong. That was you. But we had a problem. Well, the next week, a national known kind of newspaper comes out, does this article, and you never guess who was on the front page of that article of the Football League. Burke, his twin brother. And so Burke got me to print out copies. He signed them. He was passing them out to friends. He was so excited. I don't know where they get all this like self-indulgence, probably their mama. I don't know where they get it from. But listen, we got to pray for them. And so, look, I'm trying to work through. Well, fast forward a couple more weeks. I have to go preach out of town, so I miss a game. And Adrian Peterson was with us at the time, and Adrian Peterson's son was on our team. And he stepped up to serve as the assistant coach. Well, you'd never guess who showed up to feature our team. SportsCenter. And SportsCenter puts this little video together, and it's all our kids playing football, and then it says, Drew Brees, head coach. Adrian Peterson, assistant coach. No, he's not! I'm the assistant coach, America. This is my time to shine. I've dreamed forever to be on SportsCenter. So we traded him right away because y'all thought you knew the reason. That was the reason. And it's sad, guys. Listen, everybody take a deep breath. See, some of y'all here in this room right now, you're exhausted. Because you're trying to earn God. As we talk about the advance and multiplication of the church, a foundational truth that we need to establish is not that we come to God. He came to us. The pursuit of Jesus. Number two, we see the reach of Jesus. Not only does he come to us, but he loves us. It says, and he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. This is so amazing. Listen, Levi was a tax collector. He was the lowest of low by Jewish standards, like a Panthers fan to a Saints fan. He was a traitor. He was a thief. He was a true lowlife. He was despised. And I know some of you are here and you're saying, okay, I get it, Rob. Jesus came to us, but there's no way that Jesus would love me. There's no way he would forgive me for what I've done. There's no way that he could overcome the issues in my life. And may I submit to you what Scripture speaks about? God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still what? Sinners, Christ died for us. Any sinners in the house, raise your hand. Anyone been loved by Jesus as a sinner in the house? Thank you, Jesus, for your love. See, the religious look at this and say, ah, a tax collector. What you thinking, Jesus? You got guys fasting over here. They're better candidates. You've got guys who are given out of the abundance of everything. They're better candidates. You've got people who have been members of this church before this church began. They're better candidates. Jesus says, I want the tax collector. We see here in this text not just the pursuit of Jesus, we see the reach of Jesus, and thirdly, now we see the call of Jesus. He comes to this tax collector, and what does he say to this tax collector named Levi? He says to him, follow me. I don't know about y'all. I'm so amazed that God uses me. Growing up as a kid, you know what scared me more than anything in the world? Speaking in front of people. I still... Brother, I wasn't just getting Baptist with you. I was working out nerves. I still get nervous every time I get up. Every time I get up. Plus, I have a wife who I've never impressed. It's been part of my sanctification in life. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't get this preaching thing, Ronnie. Like, I'm just telling you, like, I'm fully aware of how much of a loser I am, how unworthy I am, and yet God calls me somehow. and he uses me for his glory because I know it. Listen, over the last 10 years, pastoring a church, planting this church, I would get up some weeks and I would preach. And I'm telling you, I would preach in such a way that in my mind, I'm like, I think I might be the next Billy Graham. Like, I'm that confident, and I'm walking off stage with, like, a strut. And because my wife loves me, she doesn't rebuke me right there. But when we get in the car to go home, she looks at me, and she's like, babe, I love you. You know I love you. But that was the worst sermon I've ever heard in my entire life. Then the very next week, man, like, I'm sick. You know, I'm high on NyQuil or something. I'm struggling. By the end of the sermon, I'm hanging on. I'm barely making it. I'm like, amen. I get off stage, and my wife doesn't even wait. I get down the front, and she's in tears. She's like, that was the most beautiful message. What gives? This is God's grace. For he loves us. He calls us. And God's in the business, guys, of doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I would submit to you today that if God's called you to something that you can do in your own ability, it's probably not from him. For God desires to do something where you actually say, I can't do this. Can I just confess? Can I have a little counseling moment? I'm scared to death of Pittsburgh. My family and I, we learned real quick that Old Navy doesn't work up there. Poor kids, we took them up there downtown. We started ice skating around. They're coming over to us shaking. We just don't have good winter gear. We never needed it in New Orleans. Got to get some better gear. But the intricacies of the lostness in terms of our tribe, which is a Southern Baptist tribe, and you know, there's like one church for every 65,000 people. Just scares me to death. And I'm not landing in Pittsburgh thinking that I've got some sort of answer that no one else has been able to figure out. I know how much grace played a role in the last 10 years in the city of New Orleans. But you know why I can confidently walk in this is because what my grandpa told me. God's call trumps all. When his call is upon your life, he does for you what you cannot do for yourself. For you walking in his power, in his authority. Jesus had been modeling to his followers at this point the authority that he had. And as followers of Christ, this is the story in the book of Acts. We are given that same authority to go and to make disciples of all nations. Y'all do know the key to the Great Commission, don't you? The key to the Great Commission is not make disciples, as every seminary nerd likes to say. The key to the Great Commission is when Jesus declares to us, for I am with you always to the end of the age. Because it's his mission. And we're walking in this. Listen, I'm so thankful to God for his call upon our life. If I can just share with you quickly, the call to plant a church in New Orleans, we didn't see coming. I was serving in post-Katrina New Orleans. Before Katrina, I was at seminary working for Upward Sports. And I was also serving as Dr. David Platt's assistant, who was the dean of chapel at the time. And then Katrina hit and ruined a bunch of things, and I came back into that city and started rolling up my sleeves. My wife, she's a massage therapist, and yes, it's awesome being married to a massage therapist. We started to get to know her coworkers, and by God's grace, was given the privilege of leading one of her coworkers to the Lord in uptown New Orleans. And it was that call of God where God called us to move off that seminary campus and into the heart of Uptown and start a Bible study in our home. That was over 10 years ago. And the last 10 years has been an amazing story of God's grace. And if I can just tell you, I took a sabbatical 2 summers ago. It was right after I had completed my seminary degree, my doctoral work. And right after I finished our building project, we had just done a building project, and we're in quote-unquote at a place where we've arrived. And when we went away to the beach for a few weeks and started to rest, the Lord began to speak to me and something stirred. And the Lord basically said, look, I'm calling you to keep going. You've served well. You've finished your assignment. It's time to pass it off. You need to go. And so I came back and we pursued something in Orlando that didn't work out. And it's amazing how God works sometimes, right? Even through the difficult things, when you just trust him and you take it day by day, God used the situation in Orlando to get me on the North American Mission Board's radar. And that's when they called me and they said, look, if you're willing to go, we don't have many guys who've planted in a city who are willing or crazy enough to do it again. And we have a city called Pittsburgh. And I've already been talking to pastors like your pastor who are ready. We just need a guy to go. Would you accept this call? And at first, I'll just be honest with you, I said no. I don't really know anything about Pittsburgh. Never been. But when my wife and I journeyed into that city and we went through Fort Pitt Tunnel, the Lord called. And God's call trumps all. Here he calls Levi, follow me, which brings us to our last two points. We see the demand of Jesus. The demand of Jesus. I want you to know that he not only calls you, he commands you. And so Levi, after Jesus says, follow me, Levi leaves everything behind in verse 28. And it says he immediately got up and began to follow him. This is why it's so important. Listen, if you go and study about the advancement and the multiplication of the church, how did Jesus begin this mission by sending his disciples out? He didn't actually tell them to go. He didn't. He told them to wait, to pray, and then to go, right? That's what he did. He said, go and wait. For the Holy Spirit's coming and he's going to empower you to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And so they wait, they pray, and then they receive an assignment from God and they go. We get it turned around, church. We go according to our plans. And when you go according to your plans, you know what you're going to do a lot of? Waiting. It's not going to work. Because you're going according to your plans. And so we wait around. God, what's going on? And God's sitting there going, you're doing your thing. And so in the last resort, we get desperate and we finally start praying. And we're like, God, forgive me, I stepped out. Now, no, the advancement, the multiplication of the gospel in the book of Acts is to wait, to pray, and then to go. For when Jesus speaks, it's a command, it's not a suggestion. And when he calls you out, listen, write this down. This should be your job description in life. Listen to Jesus and do what he says. Listen to Jesus and do what he says. Here, Levi surrenders it all, and he does what Jesus describes also in the book of Luke. In Luke 9, 23, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him, right? To deny oneself is a surrender to his gospel. To take up one's cross is a sacrifice in his grace. To follow him is a submission for his glory. And so we are called to deny ourselves, to risk it all. And what's so great about the gospel, we know this, is when we die, we actually live. For when we are crucified with Christ, when we lose our life, we actually gain it. For Jesus is not some killjoy in your life. He is the key to joy. He's the key to joy. If Jesus is stirring in your heart right now, look at me. Everybody look at me. Listen to him. Throw down your nets and follow him. I don't have time this morning to tell you how many things have happened already, and I haven't even moved to Pittsburgh. For you guys to, out of nowhere, out of your generosity, send a check for a theory right now, is an affirmation. For me to take one visit to the city of Pittsburgh and to have a conversation with a waitress that is not just sitting there doing something, but is actually in the pursuit of looking for someone like our church who would come and preach the gospel into her life. See, God's working. When he calls, this is a demand of Jesus, and we are called to follow him. But the last thing, and I close with this, we find the mission of Jesus. This is how Jesus is changing this world one life at a time. The mission of Jesus. Do you know that he empowers you? I already told you, I'm a huge Holy Spirit fan. Gotta have the Holy Spirit. You know that he empowers you? What's so great in this story is, what does Levi do? Levi, you know, follows Jesus, and then he goes back and he just is all about himself and does things for himself. Immediately, what does he do? He throws a party for Jesus. He throws a party for Jesus. Look at it in the text. It says, then Levi hosted a grand banquet for Jesus at his house. And there were tax collectors and others. Isn't that amazing? See, some of y'all are going to be a little overwhelmed about Pittsburgh. May I submit to you, this is not an either-or thing. This is not, okay, only way to serve Jesus, I got to go to Pittsburgh with Rob. No, we're called to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Do you know that Jesus Christ is calling some of you back to your workplace tomorrow? Why don't you throw a party for Jesus at your workplace tomorrow? Throw a party for Jesus at your house this week. This is how we advance and multiply the church, how we advance the gospel. He goes back to those very people, and of course the Pharisees and the scribes are against this. May I assure you, you step out to be on mission for Jesus, you're going to meet resistance. I would go so far as to say this, if you're not going through some form of resistance or persecution, it might mean that you're no threat to the enemy. And so take comfort by that resistance. I'm bracing. I know what I've been through the last 10 years in New Orleans, and I know it's coming again because I believe, because of the call of God, because of the power of God, we are going to be a threat to the enemy in the city of Pittsburgh. I know it. And so listen to me. Christ community, I'm not talking about unity here. You can have unity even in persecution. But you should be troubled, Christ community, if you're not meeting some sort of persecution from the enemy. The enemy has looked at Christ community and said, that right there is a water boy in the kingdom of God. If you accept this call and you step out on mission, just get ready. Just get ready. Guys, leaving the city of New Orleans for me and my family has been one of the hardest things that we've ever done. One of the hardest things we've ever done. And as we've accepted this call, I can't believe that we're even here. Because 2-3 years ago, we were sharing this with the parents last night. Like, we never saw ourselves leaving New Orleans. Y'all understand, this is a church that I had the privilege of planting from my living room. These are people I've discipled and loved on. And it's been hard. We've suffered loss. We've suffered loss. And as God has called, listen, I prayed two things. I said, Lord, would you give me the privilege of raising up the next leaders of this church? Do you know he answered those prayers? The two guys, one the lead pastor, one the executive pastor, are two guys that I discipled for the last 9 years. They're leading the church. Second prayer I prayed was, Lord, would this church be in the healthiest place it's ever been? And you know, this past Easter, they had better numbers than I ever had. It hurts my feelings. It does. I'm sitting there like, gosh, I'm going back to preach there in 2 weeks. And so as I was struggling at the end of this last year, we had one last Sunday, and I preached on the Sunday morning, and then that night we ordained 3 new pastors for our church. And guys, that night, it was one of the largest things our church has ever done, and I'm once again looking around. This kind of hurts my feelings. They're throwing a party for me leaving. And one big guy comes up to me, his name's Kirk. He's 6'7", 300 plus pounds. And he comes up to me, and you pay attention when he comes up to you. And he walks up and, Pastor Rob, just want you to know I've been a little bit upset with you. I was like, I know this has been hard, Kirk. I know it's been hard. He said, but then you preached this morning about gospel multiplication, how we got to keep going and we can't stop because Jesus doesn't stop. And then I'm here tonight and this place is packed out. They're so excited about you leaving. And they're so excited about the next leaders rising up in the church. And I've just got something to tell you because I know you're struggling because you love us. If you were having doubts, I want you to know that if it wasn't for you accepting the call of God 10 plus years ago to plant this church, today I wouldn't know Jesus and I'd be divorced. And God sent me to tell you here today that you have no choice. Even if you're doubting, we're not going to let you. There's someone in the city of Pittsburgh right now who probably was like me before I met Jesus here in New Orleans. And you don't have a choice, Pastor Rob. You got to go. You got to go. And may I share with you, Christ community, we don't know the specific call of God upon our life, but we're not waiting on the call to go. For Jesus has commanded us, this is not an option, right now, right here, let's go to go and make disciples of all nations. And that's not something just for a church planner, that's not something just for Pastor Ronnie and your staff, that's for every one of us who've been saved by the gospel of Jesus. We've been called to rise up, to answer the call of God, to follow him, and to go and make disciples of all nations. What would happen in this church? What would happen in this church if every one of us faithfully, in all of our different spheres of life, with our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, our neighboring cities, these North American cities, the nations, I wonder what would happen if we would answer the call of God. That call of God today begins by surrendering your life to Jesus if you don't know him as Lord and Savior. For Jesus came, he lived, he died, he defeated sin, death, and hell. And he offers to all who would repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in him eternal life. And so as the band begins to come up here, we're going to sing a song, Have It All. I want to invite you, as we sing this song, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, will you give your life to Jesus? Will you give your life to Jesus? Come and die so that you might live. Come down front. I'm going to ask for some of the pastors and team to be down front, to just be available. I'll be down front. I'd love to pray with you. Come and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. But in the second place, I want to invite those who are here today. You know Christ as Lord and Savior. You love Jesus. But the Lord's stirring within your heart something right now. Maybe, Ronnie, it's just a coworker. Guys, if right now your heart's breaking for a coworker, just know that that's not random. That's not by chance. That's the call of God. And he's calling you right now to take some steps. Can I tell you what the greatest step that you can make right now? It's to come down front and get on your knees and pray before you go. Pray and ask for the Lord to empower you by the Holy Spirit to go and lead your coworker this week to Jesus. Your classmate, your neighbor, your friend. Some of y'all, the Lord's stirring in your heart to maybe join us in Pittsburgh. Or to be a part of a new church plan in some way, shape, or form. Whatever it is, let's listen to Jesus and do what he says.